On this baptism of the Lord Sunday, we think about what does it mean to be baptized. John the Baptist came saying, change your minds, change your hearts, change the way you live. And surely this had to be a moving experience for Jesus, something that was powerful and emotional. But Jesus' baptism was different than other people's. Listen, as we hear the something more that is revealed to us in the Gospel of Mark, beginning with chapter 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the book of Acts, chapter 19, notice as we hear this story, something of the trajectory from Jesus' experience to what the early church experienced in that same baptism. Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They replied, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then he said, into what then were you baptized? And they answered, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Who are you? And who told you who you are? Who told you? Your parents? Your family? Your friends? Your enemies? Was it the bully down the block who told you who you are? Or was it your teacher who sat you at the head of the class, or for some of you in the back of the room? Was it your boss who told you to do it again until you got it right? Or your coworkers who rolled their eyes when it was your turn to speak? Who told you who you are? And what did they tell you? When I was back in Nashville, there was one big question that always got asked upon an introduction. Now, who's his daddy? That's how we know who you were. You're the son of or the daughter of. Or were you told you're the smart one, the dumb one, the tall one, the short one, the pretty one, the average one, the loud one, the quiet one? Did they tell you that you are going to do great things one day? And if they told you that, on what evidence did they make that assertion? And beyond what they told you, did you believe them? Or did they tell you that you're the loud talking, over drinking, overspending, oversexed, underachieving one who's not quite what the Creator had in mind when she made human beings in God's image? What is it that they told you? Who told you who you are? Rest assured, there are many voices who would be more than happy to tell you that question and that answer, but it's a dangerous way. However, knowing who you are is a question that every human being has to answer. So who are you? Do you get your answer from that modern-day symphony by Queen? We are the champions, my friends, and we'll keep on fighting to the end. The problem being that this year's champions are next year's also-rans, and you don't end up in an endless and you can end up in an endless search to feel worthy, a search that doesn't last. It can end up being a game, can't it? Lots of deceit and boasting. Whether it be secular or religious or spiritual, it's all a bunch of people building up their own ego, putting someone else down. Some of you may have seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Peter, aka Star-Lord, finally meets his father, who looks an awful lot like Kurt Russell. In his own words, he is a god small g, whose name is Ego. And Ego finally discovered the meaning of his life, which was to take over the entire galaxy and make it all about him. You know, really, that's not a bad description of sin, isn't it? That sense of idolatry in the Bible is critiquing when we want to make the world all about us. And yet that's part of what we're told who we're supposed to be. The great wisdom of our faith is that false pride leads to our destruction. And wisdom is not found in celebrating our sins or self-centeredness, but in admitting it. So the prophets say such things as, we are all like sheep who have gone astray. Or the Apostle Paul, who says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Or one of the ancient saints and fathers of the church, Bernard, who said, every corner of my heart is a cage of unclean birds. Still, the question presses upon us, who are you? And who told you who you are? We have rituals to tell us who we are. One of our prime rituals that we see every year is the ritual of graduation from grade school or high school, technical school, college, or graduate school. And surely all that study does open minds and can open doors, but it doesn't solve life's big problem of who you are. We have other rituals, like the ritual of the credit card. In the ritual of the credit card, you fill out the paperwork so they can tell you that you are worthy. And then they grant you the holy chip, in which case if you use that ritual too often, you're not going to be worth more, but worth less. The world has all sorts of rituals to try to convince us who we are. In the midst of all these competing voices that are trying to tell us and convince us, the gift of our faith is we have been given the gift of baptism. Baptism is a rite of identity. It tells us who we are. It doesn't argue about it. It asserts a God-given truth. It doesn't explain. It proclaims. And it does not have a long list of requirements you have to fulfill. Baptism is a gift of God. You are baptized in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark asserts a brief, powerful story. Jesus is baptized. No giant clap of thunder, no crowd being astonished, but at the moment that he comes up out of the water, Jesus alone hears a voice from heaven that says, "You are my son. You are beloved. With you I am well pleased. In you I take delight." Those images, son, family, the voice of God calling him such, pictures God as a divine parent, a relationship that is intimate and powerful. None of us earned being born into the family we are. It's a gift. You are my son, beloved. I love you. To be loved is to be valued, cared for. To know that there's someone who wishes for our well-being, someone who hurts when we hurt, who rejoices when we rejoice, who's present even when it seems as if they're absent, to the someone who delights in our very being. Jesus experienced that sense of being loved. Not because he had filled out all the paperwork, not because he had scored high enough on the SAT, ACT, MCATs, LSATs, or GRE. Not because he had scored the winning point in some game. Not because he'd been named Employee of the Month or Salesperson of the Year or had received a Lifetime Achievement Award. He hadn't achieved anything. He was loved as the gift of God. And the Gospel of Mark says that is the beginning. The good news that Jesus experienced that love of God, claimed as God's own family. So who are we? We are the people baptized in that same spirit of Jesus Christ. And as we are baptized not because we're so great or good or smart or high achieving, and it's not something that can be taken away as if we could be rejected because of any of our failures. No, we're loved purely out of the grace of God. That is who we are. We're the people who know that we are claimed and loved by God. Jesus proclaims in the Bible, "Baptize in my name," because he wants his experience to be our experience. To have each and every one of us know we are loved by God. And that we have a seat at the table in God's kingdom, in God's family. It's the grace of God, purely the grace of God, that seats us there, that welcomes us there. And you don't have to prove yourself, you don't have to earn it, and you can't lose it. And it doesn't matter what you've done or not done, you are loved. That voice of heaven is speaking to us. The book of Acts traces out the trajectory of what that meant in the life of the early church after they experienced baptism. And what you see in that passage from the book of Acts today is they started speaking other languages because they wanted to make sure that other people knew that they too were loved. Other people, foreigners, outsiders, immigrants, they would know that they too are welcomed by God, and that we are brothers and sisters at the same table, in the same family, beloved by God. Presbyterian preacher Mark Ramsey, I'm grateful to him for sharing in one of his sermons. He discovered this wonderful poem by Raymond Carver, so I share it with you. I took delight in it. Raymond Carver was a poet who died around age 50. He had lived a hard life, a difficult life for many years, but when he finally got clean and sober, he had about a decade of peace and love before he passed away of cancer. They found his last poem, just a fragment, only 7 short lines. It's written as a dialogue. Raymond Carver's last poem. And did you get what you want? What you wanted from this life, even so? I did. And what did you want? To feel myself beloved. To feel myself beloved on earth. Raymond Carver. Who are you? You are beloved of God. We are beloved of God. In baptism, this is what we know. This is what we claim. We are beloved of God. That's where the story of Jesus' life begins. And that's where the story of our life truly begins. Be who you are, beloved of God. Amen.